Well, here lately, I've been reminded of how much encouragement means to me. I'm also reminded of how much encouragement means to you and me as we endeavor to continue and someday complete our spiritual journey. Someone once said, and I quote, "People grow the best and the most when the atmosphere of acceptance is present," unquote. Believe it or not, we need the influence of others in our lives if we are going to grow spiritually. Isn't that what we want for ourselves? You know, we're all here to grow spiritually, to better our spiritual lives, and having input and support and encouragement from one another has a lot to do with how much we're how well we're successful in that endeavor. You know, and I think that's what we want for one another. We all want each of us to grow together. Let's go first for our first scripture to Proverbs. I know that's certainly something that we all want to happen, but Proverbs 27 and verse 17. We'll read a familiar scripture. Proverbs 27, verse 17, iron sharpens iron. You know, iron tools such as swords or axes or whatever, you know, we sharpen those by rubbing them together against another piece of iron or a stone of some kind. It says, iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. This means that to strengthen his or her judgment, you know, we can do that to one another. It's someone who brings out the best in us and helps make us wiser and better people. If we have someone like that in our life, if we have someone in our life that supports us, that is always bringing out the best in us, that is looking out for our spiritual development, then we have a good friend indeed. The point is, brethren, we need each other. We need each other. We need encouragement from one another. We need to be encouraging each other. We need to receive encouragement from one another. You see, encouragement is one of the greatest gifts that we can give or receive. So my subject today is not specifically encouragement per se, but rather we're going to look at a person in the Bible that we can learn some valuable lessons from on encouragement and learn some lessons from him that can make our endeavor to be encouraged and to encourage one another to make it a bigger part of our life. Have you ever had a friend stand up for you? Have you ever had someone that just gave you support? Have you had someone that, so to speak, had your back? You knew they would always be there for you. They would always give you support. Have you ever had someone give you loyal support even in the face of adversity? When they stood the chance maybe coming out on the short end of the stick, so to speak. What about someone who supported you even, maybe you weren't even friends or close friends? And how that made you feel, how that made you feel strengthened and confident in what you were doing because you had someone that was giving you that encouragement and support. Well, the person we're going to look at today embodies that some of those character traits. His name was Barnabas. His name is Barnabas. And more specifically, we're going to look at several lessons of encouragement that we can learn from him. Now, when Barnabas was first introduced to us in the book of Acts, what do we see him doing? We see that he has sold all of his property and donated the proceeds to the church. So at the very onset of getting to know about this man, Barnabas, we see that he is giving of himself for the family, for the church. He's doing something and sacrificing himself for the good of others. We're told he was a Levite from the island of Cyprus. He was either a cousin or an uncle to Mark, the evangelist, the gospel writer. Now, Barnabas' given name was Joseph, or Joseph. And later, the apostles would give him the name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement or son of exhortation. So why would the apostles give Barnabas a different name? What is it about him that made them give him the name son of encouragement? Well, we're going to look at these examples in a few minutes. But first, let's turn to Acts 4, verse 36. Acts 4, verse 36, and Joseph, who by the apostles were surnamed Barnabas, which is to be interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus. You know, if you think about it, you know, that's pretty amazing. At least it is to me that the apostles would change his name pretty much so to something else besides Joseph's or the name that was given to him. You know, imagine a moment being so encouraging, because that's what Barnabas means, as we've already looked at Saul. Imagine being so encouraging and supportive of other people, of the people there that he was surrounded by, that the apostles would give him a new name and call him that name that fit that characteristic that pretty much told us what he was doing, what he was made of. You know, I imagine he would have to be doing a lot of encouraging to others, at least I would think so, you know, for that to happen. Now, in the New Testament, the word most often translated encouragement is the word paraklesis. It comes from a combination of two Greek words, para, which is to mean alongside of, and kaleo, to call. So the word encourager means someone who is called to be at your side and help and support you. We definitely want people beside of us that are there to help us and support us. You know, doesn't that sound like something that we should be to one another? Shouldn't we be a Barnabas to one another, an encourager to one another? We, of all people, should be at one another's side to encourage, to guide, to teach, inspire, support, just as Barnabas was doing during his time. He was doing it so well that they changed his name from Joseph to Barnabas. What are some characteristics maybe that you're doing that, or that you would like to do, that you would like to be known of or by, and that you were doing it so well that we would have to change your name so that people would know exactly who was being referred to? You never know. People might want to do that sometime. You never can tell. Well, in studying the history of the early church, we see many powerful examples that would lead many to live God's way of life. You know, of course, it was also a time of great persecution. Those trying to follow the teachings of Christ endured many hardships and difficulties. But in Scripture, Barnabas is seen as someone providing help and encouragement to those around him. And that's certainly something that we should be doing too, that we should be willing to do for one another. To shed some light on Barnabas's encouraging nature, let's turn now to Acts 9. Acts 9, verse 26. Acts 9 and verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. You know, this is Paul's first visit to Jerusalem as a new convert. Previously, he was an awful persecutor of the church, wasn't he? His sole purpose, his sole desire was to catch, apprehend, and arrest as many followers of Christ as he could possibly do, to catch them, to throw them into jail, to beat them, to torment them, and even to kill them. Reasonably so, because of this, the other disciples or apostles were afraid and skeptical at now how all of a sudden this person has had a complete change of attitude and that he was truly now an apostle. But in verse 27, but Barnabas took him, Paul, and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and they had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. You know, this was probably not too easy for Barnabas to do. It was hard for him to stand up to the church and try to convince them that the man who shortly before was beating and imprisoning Christians was now, all of a sudden, now a believer, now a follower of Christ. Now he was one of the people that he was, in the past, had been persecuting. He was now an apostle. But you know what? The people trusted Barnabas. They trusted him enough to allow Paul to become one of them, to be accepted. Let's look one more place where we can see what type of person Barnabas truly was. Let's turn over a few pages to Acts 11. Acts 11, verse 22. Acts 11, 22 through 24. Verse 22, when tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and he had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them that they with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Verse 24, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. So the gospel is being preached to the Gentiles, and you know, many of them are beginning to believe in the Lord. But the church at Jerusalem wasn't so sure about this. They may not have been confident in Peter's vision he had in chapter 10 that gave him the mandate to take the gospel to the Gentiles. So what did they do? They wanted to send Barnabas to check things out, to investigate, to see what was really going on. Well, again, the church trusted Barnabas's assessment and that God was truly doing a work among the Gentiles. So briefly, we've seen what kind of man Barnabas was. He was someone who encouraged others. He was a man that set a good example for others. He served others. So what are some valuable lessons that we can learn from this man that was called Barnabas? More importantly, how might we learn to be an encourager as he was? This was alluded to earlier, but one thing that we can learn from Barnabas is live to give. Live to give, have a generous attitude. In Acts 4, verse 37, we learn that Barnabas owned some land. Barnabas 4, verse 37. Verse 37, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now remember, you got to keep in mind that Levites were not supposed to own any inherited land in Palestine. This law may not apply to land in other countries because, Barnabas was from Cyprus. Or some commentaries simply say it may not have still been observed at this time. I'm not really sure. But the church at Jerusalem was growing rapidly at this time, and believers were being added to the church daily. You know, that would be nice, wouldn't it? For us to be adding new members to our congregation on a daily basis, that would certainly be wonderful. But because of this new influx of people, there was a need for material help in caring for the multitudes of the people. Barnabas had some land, you know, and he had a new calling. He had a calling to be an apostle. So he decided to sell it and give the total amount of the money to the church, unlike some people that we can read about in the next chapter. But Barnabas definitely was a generous giver. He was willing to give all that he had for the good of the church. He was willing to donate everything he had for the benefit of the people, for those that needed help and assistance. So Barnabas encouraged others not only with his words, but with his generosity. Brethren, you can't have an encouraging life without having a generous heart. We have to have a generous heart. To encourage us to be willing to give, not withhold. Generosity is foundational to encouragement, and Barnabas was a fine example of that for us. He was a fine example of generosity. The next thing that we can learn from Barnabas is that live to encourage. Live to encourage. Be a committed encourager. Let's go back now to Acts 11, verse 19. Looking at Acts 11, this time I'm going to read from the NIV, verse 19. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Verse 22, news of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. So when Barnabas arrived at Antioch, he was so happy to see what was going on. The verb encourage is in the imperfect sense, and which means that he repeatedly encouraged them to persevere in their loyalty to God. He was saying, remain true to the Lord with all your hearts, no matter what. Don't cling to recreational activities. Don't cling to sports or entertainment. Rather, he encouraged them all to be resolute and steadfast in their devotion to God. Stay close to the Lord, whatever the cost. In verse 24, as we already read, but he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Brethren, the description of Barnabas here in verse 24 is about as noble a portrayal as could be made of another human being. Wouldn't these words be nice to be said of us at our funeral? He was a good man. He was generous and tender-hearted, a man of proven character and high moral standards. Barnabas was an honorable man, respectable and morally sound. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He possessed an endowment of God's power for witnessing and service to others. He was overflowing with faith. He had strong convictions and confidence in God and in his word. And as a result of your example, of my example, or whomever, the church grew. Those would be some fantastic words to be said of each and every one of us. Now, verse 25. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. In verse 26, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Well, as the church grew, Barnabas was wise enough to understand, that he needed help. He couldn't do it all himself. The job of caring and teaching the new converts was getting too big a job for him to do alone. So he decided to go to Tarsus to find Paul. And after he found him, he brought him back to Antioch to help him. And one commentary said Barnabas's willingness to bring in someone to help him showed marks of wisdom and an unselfish spirit on his part. And for a whole year, they worked together teaching the people at Antioch. A whole year they worked together. And as a result, as noted in the last part of verse 26, the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Previously, throughout the book of Acts, people were called, that following Christ, were called brethren. They were called disciples or saints or believers. Now they are called Christians, simply meaning those belonging to or adhering to the teachings of Jesus Christ. Turn now to Acts 15. Acts 15. And we'll see another valuable character trait of Barnabas. Acts 15. And we'll begin in verse 36. Acts 15, verse 36. Again, reading from the NIV. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "You know, let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark. He wanted to take John with him. But Paul did not think it was wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. In verse 21, he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Our final attribute of Barnabas we'll look at today is live to forgive. Live to forgive. Be a forgiving brother. You know, Barnabas was willing to forgive and give someone a second chance. Are we willing to do that sometimes, to give someone a second chance? Because, brethren, believe it or not, we all goof up time and from time to time. We do or say things that we regret, we wish we hadn't said or done. But Barnabas was willing to give Mark a second chance. And not that Paul wasn't willing to forgive, he just thought they needed someone that was more reliable, that they could depend on. Remember, on their first missionary journey, Mark had given up when they got to the mountains in southern Turkey. It got the persecution or the traveling got to be too much for him. So he turned around and went home. And so Paul was wanting somebody that they felt that they could depend upon. On the other hand, Barnabas felt Mark had learned his lesson and that he deserved another chance. And that's the important thing, is to make sure that we learn our lessons when we make mistakes. Keep in mind, Mark was Barnabas's nephew, so he wasn't going to give up on his support for him. Likewise, Paul wasn't going to give up on his conviction about Mark's lack of dedication in the face of persecution and hardship. They both had sound, reasonable arguments to suggest why they ended up doing what they ended up doing. Anyway, the two ended up going their separate ways. This, as it turns out, was a blessing, because what happened then? Well, now you have two teams out there going about preaching the gospel and taking care of the flocks instead of just one. So maybe God was working mysteriously in a way with them that he wanted to. They were able to do twice the work. It's important to note that there were no ill feelings between Paul and Barnabas. They didn't harbor any ill feelings toward one another. It wasn't like they were coming to blows or anything. Look at what it says in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 6. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 6. "Or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? Here Paul speaks kindly of Barnabas and says that he and Barnabas deserve the same rights as the other apostles. Paul also was convinced that Mark became a valuable disciple of Jesus and even wrote to Timothy encouraging him to come visit him in prison. Look at 2 Timothy 4, verse 11. 2 Timothy 4, verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with you, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. We don't always hear Barnabas talked a lot about. There's so many other people in the Bible that we talk a lot more about, but I believe he deserves our utmost respect for his generous Christian spirit that was a fine example for the people during his time and for us today. He deserves our respect for his contribution toward the ongoing life and ministry of the early church. Had it not been for the unselfish concern of Barnabas, Paul might never have been accepted in the Jerusalem church. Without the support of Barnabas, Mark may have decided to give up serving the Lord entirely. But because Barnabas was willing to give him support, to give him that second chance, he ended up being a valuable asset. Instead, both men persevered, and more than half of the New Testament was written by them. So I hope we'll remember Barnabas as a man disposed to kindness. He was a man with a warm heart and an open hand to others. He was a faithful friend, a committed encourager, a forgiving brother, and one who gave generously to help the poor. Look at one more scripture. Let's go back to Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19, verse 17, he who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done. You know, this can refer to sharing food, lending money, and even defending the rights of the poor. These are ways that we can show kindness to our fellow man, to those who are poor. Just as Barnabas did, when we do this, we in essence honor God. To bring us to our conclusion, I want to read a short story that I think drives home what we're talking about today. The story goes, a young man was selling goods to help pay his way through med school. He had only one coin left that day, and he was hungry. He decided he would ask for a meal at the next house he came to. However, he lost his nerve when the lady opened the door, and so instead asked only for a glass of water. She thought he looked hungry, so she brought him a large glass of milk. He drank it slowly and then said, "How much do I owe you?" "You don't owe me anything," the woman replied. "My mother always taught us to never accept pay for kindness." The young man then said, "I thank you from my heart." The boy's name was Howard Kelly. Howard Kelly, remember that name. As he left the house, he not only felt stronger physically, but his faith in God and his love for people were stronger also. Years later, that woman became critically ill. The local doctor sent her to the big city where she could be seen by specialists. Dr. Howard Kelly was a specialist that was called in for her consultation. When he heard the name of the town she was from, he took special interest and he immediately went to her room. Dressed in his white doctor's lab coat, he went to see her. He immediately recognized her face and went back to the medical records department to study her case, determined to do as much as he can to save her life. From that day forward, Dr. Kelly gave special attention to her case. Eventually, the woman recovered and was able to return home. Dr. Kelly requested the business office to pass her final bill on to him for final approval. He studied the bill, wrote something on the bottom of it, and mailed it back to her home. She feared opening the invoice when it came. She was sure it would take the rest of her life to pay it off. When she opened the envelope, she noticed something written at the bottom of the invoice. She read these words, "Paid in full with one glass of milk." Signed, Dr. Howard Kelly. So, giving to the poor, brethren, is a good, sound investment. And as we read, when we help the poor, you are in essence lending to God. And you know what? God's interest rates can't be beat. So I hope through what we've discussed today about our friend Barnabas gives us a deeper understanding and a better appreciation for the life and the example that he set for us. People like Barnabas played a major role in the early church on the same level as Paul, John, Peter, James, and others. In this era of God's church, the time in which we live today, we need more people who are willing to give generously, to encourage others, and to persevere in faith. Brethren, I pray that the qualities demonstrated in the life of Barnabas are ones that we, as modern-day Christians, are striving to build each and every day.